Brothers and sisters, it is not ourselves that we proclaim. We proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning on this third Sunday of Advent. Rose Sunday, they call it, or Mary Sunday. Today's sermon comes under the title, Witness with a Purpose. Now, of course, we are witnesses of our faith in many ways, but do we witness with a sense of purpose, with a desire that our witness will bring people to Jesus Christ? Have we considered that to be a witness is also to be an evangelist? In the ancient church, and still today, many believe that to be a witness is to be a martyr, someone who dies for Christ. Indeed, Tertullian, a church father in Carthage in North Africa, wrote in the late 2nd century that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. There are still Christian martyrs throughout the world. Some are killed, some are persecuted, some are driven underground and forced to hide their Bibles and crosses. But not here in this country. Yet our free and easy circumstances has a way of making a purposeful, powerful witness even more important and necessary. George R. Beasley Murray, a wonderful, wonderful scholar of John's Gospel, has this to say about today's passage, and I quote, "An affluent and materialist generation needs as urgently as any the witness to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. For the Son of Man is still the meeting point of heaven's fullness and earth's need, even in the midst of the bustle and noise of our modern world." End quote. The story of John the Baptist in today's gospel gives us a clear example of what it means to witness with a purpose. It shows us the courage, fortitude, and conviction needed to speak your truth to the powers that be. He was sent by God to testify to Christ so that all might believe through him. He was a witness with a purpose. The priests and Levites, whom the Pharisees sent to investigate John, did not come as his friends. They came to interrogate him and report back to the authorities in Jerusalem. Was he one of the false prophets who appeared every now and then in Judea, preaching doom and revolution, gathering zealots who carried knives to assassinate those deemed too close to Rome? Some of these men even claimed to be the Messiah, thus tapping into the fever of expectation burning in the hearts of many. Was the end of Roman oppression and occupation near? Was the restoration of David's throne within reach? Did John know what the future held? Was he someone to worry about, someone to listen to, or someone to dismiss? So they asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "I am not the Messiah." Then was he Elijah? No. Was he the prophet God promised to Moses? No. Then who was he? What did he have to say for himself? And here we see a new understanding at work of God stirring up his power. John doesn't give the standard answer. He doesn't throw down his credentials and lineage and say, "I am John, son of Zechariah, of the priestly order of Abijah. I am John, son of Elizabeth, born of the tribe of Aaron." No, instead he reaches back to the ancient scriptures and Isaiah's dream of his people's exodus from Babylon. "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. His appearing is near, in fact, he is already here. But I am not him. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." We know there will be more. The next day he will see Jesus and he will shout, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Later, as his disciples worried that all were turning away from him and going to Jesus to be baptized, John would reply that his joy had been fulfilled. He, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. This phase of his purpose-filled witness was complete. God had sent him on a mission to witness to Jesus, and there is always a holy presence at work. All of today's scriptures speak to this purpose, to this presence. Who was it who anointed the prophet Isaiah with the Spirit to bring good news to the oppressed and the oil of gladness to those who mourn? The Lord God, the one who said, "I love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing." Who was it in whom young Mary's soul rejoiced? The mighty one who cast down the powerful and lifted up the lowly. Who was it to whom St. Paul prayed to give the Thessalonians a discerning spirit to test everything and hold fast to what is good? The God of peace, who is faithful to his people. This is the God who sent John in the same way that we are sent. At least, that is what our prayer to God after every gathering of Holy Communion says. What is it that we pray? Send us out as faithful witnesses of Jesus Christ our Lord. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you. Today, we might say, give us the strength and courage of John the Baptist to boldly proclaim our faith and our mission. Being sent is step one. The gospel goes on to say that John was not the light. He came to testify to the light. He came as a witness seeking not his own glory. He could have claimed to be Elijah or the promised prophet. He could have gotten so full of himself and so carried away by the adulation of the crowds and the attention of the authorities that he could declare himself the Messiah, the one sent to save his people and be anointed king. That tendency runs through humanity. It seems no country, no faith, no sect or denomination is immune from false prophets and self-proclaimed messiahs driven by ego and a lust for power. But John knew better. John knew who he was, knew who sent him, and knew what he was supposed to do. The scriptures and his words testify to that. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him. A generation later, St. Paul would write to the Corinthians, it is not ourselves that we proclaim. We proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord. Our witness does not point to us. It must point to Jesus Christ and through him to Almighty God. Now, I am told that Johann Sebastian Bach signed his completed manuscript with these letters, S-D-G, which stands for three Latin words, Solis Deo Gloria, to God be the glory, not to me, whom God has gifted with the ability to sing his praise in music that will sound down through the ages. No, no, not to me, but to God be the glory. And so now we come to the third element of John's story and today's theme, witness with a purpose. The gospel tells us that God sent John as a witness so that all might believe through him. His mission was not only to be that prophetic voice crying out in the wilderness, but also to be that witness who, by the example of his life and the sheer power of his Spirit-filled preaching, would bring people to Jesus. John's was an evangelizing spirit. He witnessed with a purpose. That same evangelizing spirit infuses two wonderful and purpose-filled works of witness going on in our church. Today, at 3 p.m., you are invited to join our community in a time of prayer. Wherever you are, Davidsonville, Severna Park, Annapolis, take hold of the available resources and pray with us. And don't just pray with us, tell somebody what you're doing and why. And we had hoped we would be walking together in groups in our own neighborhoods this Advent season. But the COVID-19 virus has kept us from gathering. However, it has not kept us from praying and witnessing with a purpose. Who knows what souls might be moved toward Christ by the knowledge of a church at prayer, not merely in God's house, but in the world. The other purpose-filled witness is our iron rosary of prayers that you see on the fence encircling St. Anne's. There you'll find prayers seeking intercession for our country, prayers seeking reconciliation in families, consolation for those in mourning, strength and healing for those whose bodies are failing, food and shelter for the hungry and homeless. These prayers will be read during our upcoming longest night service. Now, imagine the iron rosary as the loving arms of Jesus Christ stretched out to embrace all the world's joys and sorrows and to bring those carrying those prayers into a deeper relationship with God. We have a role in fostering this union. Our prayer is that we be clothed in Christ's Spirit so that we may bring those who do not know Christ to the knowledge and love of Christ. In the Iron Rosary, there is a holy and powerful purpose. Who knows? Who knows but that someone may read the prayers or write a prayer and wonder, what kind of place is St. Anne's to do such a thing for me when this church doesn't even know me? Maybe God is witnessing to me through this church. Brothers and sisters, let our witness be with a purpose. Let it be with the firm conviction that God is using us to glorify Him and to build up the body of Christ. For it is not ourselves that we proclaim, nor was it Himself that John proclaimed. That is not our mission. That is not our purpose, to proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord. For the same God who said, out of darkness let light shine, has caused His light to shine within us to give the light of revelation, the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, to inspire us to witness with a purpose. Amen.